morning, and truly thank you so much just for the love and the prayers amidst all this. And my wife always talks about the get to. We get to do this. We get to serve the Lord. She's always looking at the get to and things. And I'll tell you, Thursday, Friday, particularly when I had no voice, I just was praying, Lord, I just want to be able to see the body Sunday and share your word. And I really got to say, it gives you a perspective on the get to be your pastor. And to get to be here this morning. And I'm just praising the Lord that he answered that prayer. Give me a voice so I can teach the word of God. Please, Lord. But it's his privilege. That's a big reminder to me. It's his privilege to let me do this. And I love all y'all so much. And just again, grateful for the prayers and special thanks to Paul. Thank you for praying just before that. And I sent that man so many texts over the last few days. Get this worship set, let's fix it, and just everything. And I know he's in the midst of a lot, but just thank you for the faithful brother you are. Thank you, elders. Thank you, Mike, Jay, all the different folks who just come alongside. Thank you. And grateful for your prayers and your care. And we've got a team here. Just all I can say is praise the Lord. And thank you, Cassia, too, for the prayers, everything. So grateful. And love y'all. Can't say that enough this morning. So as we get started, I want to praise the Lord. I'm bummed I missed it, but boy, did I hear what a rockin' concert the Calvary Chapel of Chapel Hill Ministry Choir had. So praise the Lord for that. Some good stuff there. And then the Band of Brothers, they got together, and they had a good morning as well. And the Watered Women... See, look at, I gave you the whoosh. I like it now. That was also a beautiful time and praising the Lord. My honey Boo Boo praying and prepping and getting that all ready and loving on me and caring for the boys. Wives are a blessing, men. Love them. I love mine so much. Honey, thank you. Love your honey Boo Boos. Can't stress that enough. And then we got the Mountain Climbers meeting today, which was announced, but it's a busy weekend at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, but all great stuff, all really, really good stuff. And also, today, make sure there's a 19-year-old in the house. Esther Rose is 19 today, so make sure you give her some love on this 19th birthday. I have to say that because I still remember starting youth group and she was nice to me most of the time, but again, just praising the Lord for all that's going on in that household. On a more serious note, want to let folks know with House of Prayer today, it's a decision made really late last night into this morning. We are going to stream the Charlie Kirk Memorial at 2:00 here. So if you were planning to watch that, or you want to watch that with brothers and sisters in the Lord, come on here, and we'll be showing that here at 2:00. And then once that's over, we're going to go into a time of prayer. I'm thinking that'll probably be around 3:30, 3:45. I can't say for sure because I don't know, but because we're going to offer that, we're not going to then say 6:30 p.m. We'll pray again, and it'll be a great time coming off watching that to just intercede for the nation and to intercede for the church, the bride of Christ, to just boldly stand amongst this. I think that we really are in a historical time as a country right now. And as we look at this, it is a moment where we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for believers to stand up. And we need to pray for Israel. Because even in the midst of this assassination, you have prominent names with followings throwing Israel under the bus and somehow saying this is all Israel's fault. So it is an important time to be keeping all of these things in prayer and boldly interceding. Division is rampant. Anti-Israel sentiments, anti-Semitism is rampant. The country is being torn apart. And you know what's still the truth? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. There is only one name, there is only one way to be saved, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just praying that everybody can realize nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need to, everybody start singing that when you leave here. Go everywhere and just start singing nothing but the blood of Jesus. But that's what folks need to wake up to and pay attention to. So let's take this morning, brothers and sisters, to refocus, to refuel ourselves in the word of God, to reignite ourselves that we can leave this place and run the race for his glory. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I give you thanksgiving for this day. Lord, I take not for granted the privilege to stand before your people this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, as we gather, I ask that you help us, Lord, to shift our undivided attention to you alone, to you, our King. Lord, that we put distractions aside, and Lord, that we just seek to focus on you. As has been prayed through the worship set and before the service and so many times, Lord, I've heard, just teach us. Lord, your people are hungry to learn from you. Teach us this morning, Lord. Equip us, Heavenly Father. Refine us, Lord Jesus. Father, that we can truly be the men and women, the children of God that you have called and designed us to be. Lord, as we gather in this place, you alone know the hearts of each person. Lord, where salvation is needed, we pray today is the day. Lord, where repentance and turning back to the Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, is needed, may that be today. And Lord, as we ponder Cornelius and Peter, where it may be religion without a true relationship with Jesus, may today be the day of salvation. Father God, we pray for your church. May the bride of Christ boldly stand amidst these times for truth. Lord, may this nation be reminded there is one equalizer of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for Israel. Lord, amidst what we see going on with the UN, amidst just different claims from different individuals, Lord, we pray for your people. Lord, we don't pray because we say they're perfect. We pray because you chose them, you love them, and the promises of your word will not be taken away. Father, help your bride to boldly stand. Lord, teach us this morning. Have your way. In the incredible name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So last week we focused and we spent some time focusing and reflecting on the assassination of Charlie Kirk and looking at how do we as believers respond in a time like this? How do we, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? And in that we talked about and looked at the reminder we're to be the salt and we're to be the light. And being the salt means preserving our culture, preserving the word of God. And we also talked about the need for the bride of Christ to immerse, be all in. Be all in for Jesus. Be all in for sharing the gospel. And within that also, we looked and looking at where we were in Acts, we saw the resuscitation of Dorcas. We saw this life that was dead being breathed anew. And we used that as an application to talk about the bride of Christ. The church needs to be resuscitated. We need believers on fire for Jesus. Sharing the love of Jesus, proclaiming the name of Jesus, standing for the word of God. We need all those things. So the charge for last week, how did you do with part one? Will you be all in? Will you be all in? Not compromising, not, you know, maybe when I have time. And we pushed a little. Are you a Sunday morning only? Is this Jesus thing from maybe, you know, you wake up 8:30, maybe 8, and then you come here and who knows how long I talk, and then by the time we're done, you leave, you have some coffee, and that's okay. Church, Jesus, check. I'm done for the week. Is that you? Will you be all in? Second was pray, pray, pray. Are we praying? Because boy, do I believe we need the church praying right now. Christians need to be in prayer. And then the last part, will you seek his filling afresh? Will you seek that filling of the Holy Spirit to boldly stand for Christ? And boldly means wherever he has you, whoever he puts you in front of, I stand for Jesus. I stand for the word of God. So we're going to be going on this morning, Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start Acts chapter 10, and the title of this morning's message is As He Leads, As He Leads. And we're going to be going on a journey studying Cornelius and Peter. Now, before we begin this journey, there's a question I need to ask you and a photo to go with the question. Who is leading you? Who is leading you? Think about that. Because it's a question we all need to ask this morning. Is religion leading you? Is self leading you? Is tradition leading you? Perhaps it's habit. Well, I always do this on this day. I always do that on this day. I eat French toast on Tuesdays. I do this. I do that. Is it habit? Is it preferences? What you like? I really like green, so I'm going to just get all green things. Is it bias? Well, I don't really like that kind of person, so we're going to avoid that area. Not that one yet. I'll call for it. Is it culture? Is it the culture we're in? Is it preconceived notions? Well, I think this way, so that's that. Or, you know, those type of people are always like that. Is it preconceived notions? Is it God? Because if God's really leading you, there's a depth of surrender. Because when God's leading, guess what your chorus on repeat is? Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. So what is leading you? Do you let God lead? Are you open to his leading? Are you open to the leading from the Lord God Almighty? And do facts lead you or bias? Because when we think about it, you can put that up now. When we think about it, there's a scale. And often with the scale, facts weigh us down not the proportion it should. Because we take the fact. Can you put the picture up, Betsy? We take the fact and we actually say, you know what? Nope, it's bias. My biases are what's going to be that drives me. When the full weight should be the facts, and our facts are all drawn, are all from, are all based on the Word of God. We can't forget in a culture of relative truth, there is absolute truth because there is one way truth in life, Jesus. I love the prayer we heard this morning, Jesus in print. That was a phrase I'm going to hold on to that one. I wrote it down. That's going in my journal. Jesus in print. Does not change, word everlasting. So as we look today and as we go through chapter 10, we're going to look at this idea of as he leads. And as he leads, we're going to see a few things. If you can put the as he leads picture up. As he leads, we're going to see a few things. As the Lord God leads you, answers appear. Answers to different questions appear. Answers to where he wants you to go, how he wants you to live appear. As the Lord leads, barriers are broken. And we're going to see through this passage, cultural barriers are going to be broken. As the Lord leads, conviction compels. Because the conviction of the Lord God by the Word and the Spirit of God come together and it compels the child of God to repent. It compels the one who doesn't know the Lord to come to repentance unto salvation. And as he leads in that bit, guess what happens? Decision is declared. There is decision. I decide to follow Jesus. And it's declared because you ain't hiding that light under a bushel. It's declared openly. And as it is, eternity is then embraced because I know where my forever is. And then you realize forgiveness is for all. And that's what we're going to be reminded of today. The Lord Jesus came that all could be made new. And I enjoy the sermon slide picture because we're hitting the heart because that when you look at this, when we think about this, it is all a heart issue. How's your heart? Where is your heart? Today, as we go through this, we're going to see God working on a heart to bring to salvation in Cornelius. And then we're also going to see God working in the heart of a child of God, Peter, to bring him closer and to conform him and to refine him to the heart that the Lord has. It's an unlikely pairing we're going to see with Peter being sent to Cornelius culturally at the time, but it's used, it's ordained by the Lord God Almighty. Today's text reminds us of a verse I love reminding this body about as many opportunities as we can, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're talking about all. Don't limit God. Don't put salvation in a box that's only accessible to people who fit whatever bill you've decided. Because the Lord God Almighty wants all. And all is all. And we need to realize that. We need to embrace that. And we need to realize to get to the all, his ways aren't going to match our ways. It's not going to always make sense to us. But we have to remember the heart of God wanting all to come to repentance, and we got to trust, obey, and go his way. So brothers and sisters, stand with me, and we're going to read together Acts chapter 10, and we'll just read the first 8 verses to start. So we're in Acts chapter 10, reading together to give our undivided attention to the word of God. And we read there, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he was clearly in a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do.' And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for the gift to be in your word, to learn from you. Spirit of God, teach us this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask for your spirit to fall afresh upon me. I ask for your anointing. I ask for your strength. I ask that the words that come forth from my lips be only what you desire, be the truth that you need for your people. And Lord, I pray that you help each of us here this morning to be open to receive the manna you have for us. Lord, that the soil of our hearts be fertile, that we surrender, that we have ears to hear. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gift to share your word. I'm humbled and grateful. And Father God, I just ask, use me as your vessel this morning. And Lord, let it all be for your glory alone. For your glory that reigns forever and ever. In the name above all other names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So we see here Cornelius, and this is the first heart we're going to be looking at, and this is the heart that God is working on. Because this isn't a heart that's his yet, but he's working on it. "There was a certain man," verse 1, "in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment." So Caesarea, we're now 30 miles north of Joppa where we were, and we're learning about this centurion. And his name is Cornelius. Now, centurion would be a non-commissioned officer, and this officer would be over about 100 men, and that about 100 men would be a subset of the legion, which would be about 6,000 men. So it'd be a Roman soldier, and so we're seeing a Gentile of Italian descent. And knowing that and seeing that, remember what we know culturally from John when we studied from the Word of God, as we're all scholars of the Word of God here in Acts thus far. We know the Jewish folks, any true patriotic Jewish person, when it comes down to these Gentiles, would say, no, thank you. I don't need to mix there and interact with that. No, thank you. But we're going to see that's not the reality that takes place here. But we have to recognize at the time, Jew and Gentile, big divide, no mixing. Yet, what do we know from the gospel, the word of God? Salvation came for the Jew first and then the Gentile. So Jesus' plan is for all, as we mentioned, and we can't forget that. I love thinking, when I was looking at this message, thinking you see those bumper stickers, y'all means y'all, and I'm like, well, there's some truth to that, y'all means all, but the reality that we're forgetting is, what does all mean? All means that we're all sinners. All means that we all can be forgiven. All means that we all can be transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Realize that. Understand that. Get that. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray as we go through this teaching, you realize Jesus wants to know you and have relationship with you. Well, it's not my thing. I'm just here because so-and-so made me come this morning. Well, maybe it should be your thing, because if it ain't your thing, a lake of fire is going to be your thing when you die. Let's be real. That's harsh. No, it's real. It's truth. The Lord Jesus has eternal plans for every person. But there's a choice you gotta make. And the choice is, I believe, I receive the free gift of salvation. We know everybody loves free things. If you're driving and you see a sign free, you're like, what's free? This is free. And it's the best thing in the whole wide world. So realize all means all. Now back to Cornelius. Verse 2, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So we learn a little bit about him now. We learn he is a devout man. This is one who fears God. This is one who gives alms. He's caring for people. If I just read that description, you'd be like, wow, that's it. You know, any single lady, that's the guy I want. But there's more here than just looking and saying what's on the outside. Because we got to dig a little deeper to learn a little bit more about him. He's giving alms, he's doing these things. Context, for many Gentiles, the pagan way got very tiring. It was empty. Because remember, this was a time of culture where they were worshiping many gods, and they'd try this god and that god and this god and that god. And somehow they always ended up empty. Same thing we see in our culture today. Well, Christianity's not for me. I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to go look, and the rock is, you know, not the rock of salvation, but this rock on the ground, it's going to somehow change my life, or I'm going to hold these crystals and it'll change everything. No, 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 no. Try each of those. You're going to end up empty. You're going to end up empty. There's only one way, truth, and life. Jesus. So we see here, this is now someone who's fearing God. And remember what we learned about Gentiles at this time. When they leave the pagan thing, some would be proselytes. They would completely convert to Judaism, circumcision, and all. But there was a category of them who would say, I fear God, I respect the God of Israel, not going to do the circumcision thing, and I'm not going for all your customs and rituals, but I fear God. And those were called God-fearers. And the Jewish people at the time, they had a respect for these individuals. Now, it wasn't a respect to the degree of saying, hey, let's all be buddies and break bread. But there is at least, okay, you know, they fear the God of Israel. So that's where Cornelius is at this point. And we learn a little bit about his life. Verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, ninth hour of the day being 3 o'clock, and this would be a customary time that Jewish people would be praying. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. So we see here, this is one not saved yet. But there's a fear of God. There's a searching for God. And we know when we search for him with all our heart, what's he going to do? He's going to show you who he is. So in this moment, Cornelius is looking, Cornelius is searching. And as he's praying, this vision, God speaking in the mind, comes to him and says, Cornelius. Let me ask you a question about your prayer life. When you're praying, does your prayer life leave room for the Lord to say your name? Think about that. Because I'll tell you, that's something I thought about a lot with this text. Because if you think about, often we kind of have a way we pray, right? You kind of got your flow, you got what you're doing. Maybe you've got your list, maybe whatever it is. Is there room for the Lord to speak to you when you're praying? Because praying isn't a one-way thing. Praying, I think we culturally sometimes make it this, Lord, I'm going to pray right now. So-and-so's doing this and da-da-da-da-da and I need da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you give the Lord this long list. And you miss him going, Johnny, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. I prayed. Oof. No, you just talk to yourself for an hour. Good job, it was an hour, but leave room to hear. Do you pray and give time to hear from God? Cornelius, verse 4. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So I want to point one thing out. As we go through this, realize God is a God of detail. I just want to say that because as we go through this text, you're going to see the Lord's orchestrating every detail in this moment. Now we see here, he observes him. He sees this vision, this angel of the Lord, and he was afraid. It's a healthy fear. It's a healthy reverence. It's a healthy awe. If the Lord gives you a vision, well, that doesn't happen anymore. When that which is perfect has come, the gifts have ceased. Nope, they haven't. Visions still happen. Dreams still happen. The Lord could still communicate to you in this way. And if he does, what's your response? We should have a healthy fear, healthy awe of God. And what does he say? What is it, Lord? That relationship, seeking that relationship with God where it's clearly God speaking right now. What is it? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Cornelius hears without question, obeys without hesitation. Is that you? Do you hear the Lord without question? Do you obey God without hesitation? Now, Cornelius, we know he's a soldier, so you can kind of see a little bit of that military background kicking in where it's like, okay, got my marching orders, boom, going. Well, we are all soldiers of Christ. When he gives you marching orders, is it boom, I'm going? Because may we get to that place that we are. But notice, saints, what was Cornelius doing when this vision came? He wasn't watching Netflix. He was not scrolling Instagram. He was not on Twitter. He was praying. He was praying. Prayer is a lifeline source for the child of God. Yet too many children of God forsake prayer for personal desire. We got to be a people who pray. We've got to be a people who pray. Now with Cornelius, we realize something else. He's devout. He fears God. He gives alms. He's praying. All respectable list of things. Would you agree? Yeah, right? He's not saved. You can be there. And that might be you this morning. We may see you every single Sunday morning. You love the Lord. You're in the house of the Lord. You're praising God. You fear God. You tithe. You give. You even serve. You do these things. But the Lord who sees the heart knows we're not in relationship. Are you in relationship with Jesus? Because I think when we think of religion, sometimes in the non-denominational circle, it's like we are at Calvary Chapel, we can say, oh, well, he said religion. I can tune out right now. I don't have to think about that. No. You can make what we do here each morning religion. If you do not have a genuine, repentant, fully yielded life to Jesus Christ, relationship with Jesus Christ. You could be devout, you could fear God, you can give alms, you can do it all. But is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Do you have the relationship with him? Devotion through religion doesn't replace relationship with Jesus. Make sure we know that. Make sure we hold that. God knows the heart. God sees the heart. God speaks to the heart. And if that's you, pray you realize God may be speaking to your heart this morning. Hey, can I have all of you? Can I have all of you? Let's not go through the motions. Can I have all of you? And clearly, the folks around Cornelius were impacted by the example he had, because we see when he mentions all this, it's not that they're like, well, you're crazy, a vision from God. What are you talking about? Get out of here, man. No, they hear and they're like, okay, we're going. And we've got to realize the Lord God Almighty, think of what we saw in the Psalms Wednesday. He is working on this heart to help this heart realize, get off Mount Sinai. The law, don't try to just follow the law. Get off that Mount Sinai where the mediators Moses come to Mount Zion, where the cross has gotten rid of the law and where there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful moment. But it's a Gentile. And culturally at that time, it's unexpected. But guess what? God's still going to the unexpected people, and he's still preparing the hearts of the unexpected people of the culture of that time to come know Jesus. Many pursue religion with God, yet he's wanting relationship. And I want to read a passage in Matthew chapter 9 to just remind us as we hear this of the Lord's desire, the Lord's heart. Matthew 9, verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Notice the heart of what he sees. He sees these individuals, it's these Gentiles, it's these Jews that don't know the Lord God Almighty. And when Jesus saw that, he just sees them, they're weary, they're scattered. Think of our world today, saints. We got a bunch of people weary and scattered. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest is still plentiful. And I dare say today the laborers are still few. And we need laborers. We've got a room of potential laborers here. We need laborers. So God ordains these details in this moment for Cornelius. Now let's see what takes place. Now they're on their way. They're traveling the 30 miles to Joppa. And while they're traveling, notice how God ordains in his timing. Let's take a look. Verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So now we're seeing Peter praying sixth hour. It's 12 p.m. The housetop, it's not that it's any special place. This would be where folks would gather culturally at that time. And he's going up there to pray. It's about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened up and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. So a few things to note. First, what's Peter doing? Praying. What was Cornelius doing? Praying. What's an important thing that we all need to do? Pray. Okay, good. Just making sure we're getting it, making sure we're understanding this. Prayer ain't no passive thing. Prayer ain't something you don't need. Prayer ain't, I don't pray out loud. Pray. We need to pray. It's communion with God. It's talking to our Savior. Have a life of prayer. So he's praying. And we see as he's praying, he's in Joppa. Remember where he is, chapter 9, verse 43. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. We looked at that very briefly last week. This is an important detail. The tanner would be the one working with animal hides to turn them into leather. This would be one for the Jewish law is a no. You don't go by that person who works and touches the animals like that. They're unclean. But notice he's there because the Lord already is ordaining and orchestrating these details. He's softening his heart to understand, get past ceremony, get past tradition. Remember who the Lord God Almighty is. When we remind ourselves of Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That act of humility, that act of obedience to God the Father was for all. That act takes the law that they're following. Don't do this, don't do that, unclean this, and says, no. Law's gone. Look to the Savior. Look to the Lord God Almighty, and then let this lead and guide you. Let that lead and guide you. So he's preparing him by being with Simon the tanner, and now he's praying. He has this vision, and he gets hungry. Anybody ever get hungry when praying? I have before. You're praying, it's like, ooh, I'm hungry. He gets hungry. And in this moment of hunger, it could be something that could then become a bit of a distraction, because if the belly starts gurgling and making all the hungry sounds, or you start smelling the food, and it's like, oh, is she making a roast chicken? Yummy. And you get distracted. But the Lord God Almighty here ordains the details and takes this hunger and uses this hunger for a moment to get his attention. He uses the condition of hunger to speak to Peter. Perhaps Peter would recall Mark 7, where we see what takes place there. The Pharisees, they're coming. Your disciples ate the bread without washing their hands. And Jesus gives a vital teaching. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out that defiles. Because in this imagery, he's seeing the kosher and non-kosher animals all together. And as he's seeing it all with his hunger, look what the voice says in verse 13. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Doesn't say, rise, Peter, separate the kosher meat from the non-kosher and eat the kosher meat. No. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And then we see Peter's response. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Because the clean was considered holy, and anything that's not holy, it's common, it's unclean. So he's like, not so, Lord. Interesting to see the different responses to the Lord God Almighty in prayer. The Lord speaks to Cornelius, and what does he say? What is it, Lord? Lord comes to Peter? No, Lord. We're not going there. Is that ever you? You're laughing. I know it's you sometimes. We all do that sometimes. The Lord convicts. The Lord puts something on your heart and say, no, Lord. I'm okay. Thanks, though. Don't say no, Lord, to the great I am. May we say, what is it, Lord? And when we have those moments of our, nah, Lord, guess what? Take it to prayer. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with this one a little bit. But let's not be a people of no, Lord. Not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And then look what happens. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. I don't know about you, but that's for me where I'd be like, okay, give me a hunk of meat, whatever you say, Lord. He's like, what God has cleansed, don't call it common. And then look, this was done three times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. So this vision now comes three times. This is the Lord saying, this is important. This is serious. This is real. Pay attention. Peter, we see, gets a lot of three moments with the Lord. Denies three times, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Now this vision, it's coming again. Thank you, Lord, for your long suffering with us. Can we say amen to that? Thank you, Lord, that you are long suffering. And this is another portrait where the physical reality is what's being focused on, but there's a deeper spiritual meaning. And realize who we're looking at, Peter. At this point, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's preaching the word of God. He's boldly standing for Jesus. And he's still got a lot to learn. Don't think you ever arrive. You've always got more to learn. You've always got more to grow and do. I praise the Lord. In our fellowship, we've got some seasoned pastors. And I can tell you, both of those brothers, none of them will look at you and say, oh, I've arrived. You know, I know it all. Fake news. They're still just, I'm still learning, brother. And that's where we all need to be. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And in this moment, you know, Peter's got to be confused. There's got to be a little bit of how, what? Putting maybe a little bit of limit on God, which we can do, but don't limit God. And when you see this, don't think, okay, but Pastor, this is just in Acts chapter 10. The Lord doesn't actually speak to us this way anymore. You know, the Lord only speaks through, and then you go through this. You've got people who actually write books on this. God doesn't speak anymore. I pray for them. They're so void of the Holy Spirit, and they're missing out on what everything the Lord has for them. The Lord does still speak to his people. Personal testimony, March 4th. Eve of my father's passing, the memorial passing on March 5th. I have meeting plans that morning. I'm doing my own prayer time and the Lord lays on my heart. You got to cancel your meetings. Okay, fine. I'm going to cancel my meetings, Lord. Then the Lord lays on my heart and I still have the orange posted in my study. I want to birth something new with you in the morning. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're going to birth something new and I'm going to journal about my dad and who knows what you're going to give me on this. Okay, so I'm praying on that. And I'm telling Christina, I canceled the meetings. I'm going to be home. She's happy because, you know, she's pregnant and we've got 5-6 more weeks to go till we're going to meet whatever the baby is that's in the womb. And then March 5th comes. That night I have a dream of our two sons. And we didn't know if we were having another son. And I was like, babe, we got the names. I was so excited to tell her. But before I could tell her, she's like, I don't feel good this morning. And y'all know how it went. I got to catch him in the bathroom. Surprise. The Lord told me I want to birth something new in the morning. I didn't realize what he meant by birth something new in the morning. It was my son. He was new. But imagine if when the Lord laid that on my heart, I'm like, God doesn't speak to people. I'm not going to cancel my meetings. Lord, what are you doing? And then I would have been out of the house from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., 2 or 3 p.m. It would have been a very different March 5th in our home. God still communicates with his people. I share that to remind you of that, that when we look at something like this in Acts 10, don't make it something you think was for a time. The Lord still communicates, but you've got to be open. You've got to be surrendered, and you got to not limit how he wants to communicate with you. Amen. So as we keep going here now, looking at God's timing, remember God orchestrating all the details of this. Look at what happens, verse 17. So Peter has this vision, and as might happen, it might be like, okay, I got to think about this. What's going on? While Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, The men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Can we talk about God's timing? And there's a little nugget there. The timing is taking place because two folks were praying, two folks being obedient to the Lord, and the Lord can have his way. That's where if the Lord says go, go. If the Lord lays someone on your heart, call him. Be obedient to the nudgings, to the stirrings of the Lord. While Peter thought about the vision, he's still thinking, now the Spirit said to him, because the Spirit of God speaks to the children of God, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And when the Spirit of God speaks, it's kind of like that. It's pretty clear and succinct. Arise, go, go, doubt nothing. They're here because I sent them. Triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit speaking, making it clear. They're there. You got to go. Listen. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, here's what's interesting. So these guys show up, and at the onset of hearing about these guys, he's not told these are Gentiles. But it's going to be quite apparent when they come and then who they're talking about. These are not the ones that you're supposed to be having a festival with, Peter, because they're Gentiles. But notice, Peter obeyed. He went down, he was going to go with them, and he was doubting nothing. And that lodging there, when you look at the Hebrew, that lodging is pointing to full hospitality. And the Jewish people, culturally, hospitality, whoo, they know how to do it. It's a big deal. And this is the full, come on in, and we're giving you full hospitality. He doesn't care about the barriers. Because when the Lord leads, the barriers are broken. Remember what we talked about at the start? So this barrier, this division between Jew-Gentile, no. The Lord's got a plan. And it's going to be Peter, because what was the rock that he said he's going to build the church on? We've gotten the Samaritans in, and now it's time to get the Gentiles in to make it clear Jesus came for everybody. Praise the Lord for that. I heard one woo. We should be excited about that, y'all. Jesus came for everybody. Amen. Okay, that's better. You're awake. Praise the Lord. We got to be excited about that. We've got to rejoice in that. Peter's going to go, and we're going to see more what happens next week. But I've got a question for you. What about you? What about you? The Lord gives you vision and says to go to someone. I want to read lyrics of an old song. Put that picture up of that old song that maybe some of you will remember. They'll know we are Christians by our love. I'm going to read these lyrics. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come. All praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. Now, when we look at that, because we see Peter giving that hospitality, taking them in, not looking at it. Yet when I think we look at us and the church today, sometimes there's a little too much bias. There's a little too much prejudice. What do we see? And it's funny because, you know, I'm standing here as a black man saying we see prejudice. And then suddenly I bet you social media flickers now. Oh, they're going woke at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. Woohoo. No, we ain't going woke. So I just want to make that clear to AI who's listening right now. That is not the reality. When we're talking right now about bias and prejudice, what we're talking about is what we see. You see someone and you think about, oh, well, their height. You might look at weight. You might look at clothing. You might look at race. You might look at gender. You might look at ink. You might look at piercings. You might look at mannerisms. You might see how they talk. You might see, well, what kind of brands do they wear? Well, what's their status? Are they my kind of people? We look that way. Newsflash, everybody in the room does this. So if you're sitting here right now thinking, well, he's not talking to me, get right with God. We all do it. We all do it. But we need to decide, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me that I do not do it. Because you know what Christ sees? Lost sheep, found sheep. Lost sheep, found sheep. And those of us who are his sheep, we need to see it differently. The world's divided right now, brothers and sisters. You got evil, you got demons getting people to be so excited about an assassinated man, celebrating death, rejoicing in death. And when you see that, we've got to be a people who say, you know what? Jesus is still the deliverer. Jesus is still on the throne, and he is the one who can bring salvation. That's why we pray when we talk to October 7th. What do we say? We pray for both sides because we want salvation. I've been praying for the shooter. I've been praying for all of the folks who are putting all the posts, Charlie Kirk is this, Charlie Kirk is that. I pray for all of them. Because everybody needs Jesus. And I'll tell you, when you go into the prisons like we get to at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, with Pastor Jeff helping us do that and overseeing that ministry, I'll tell you something, newsflash. I still remember the first time he took me and I just went to kind of observe and see it. And it hit me when I saw those guys. I was like, whoa, I could be here so easily. Any of us could be there so easily. Let's humble ourselves. Because the question we got to ask ourselves is if a vision from the Lord, if the Lord says to you, I want you to go to that person that culturally you'd never think they're going to take the gospel. Go to that Gentile. They're never going to take the gospel. Go to whatever group you struggle with. Will you go? Can you put will you go one up? Will you go? Will you be the person to go and put your arm around that person? And give them the gospel. Let them know the love of Jesus. Because when we look at Cornelius, when we look at Peter, there's so much more that we're going to glean from this encounter. But as we look at the start of this encounter, I want us to realize God wants to communicate with us and give us a purpose. And he's ordaining all these details that's about names being added to the book of life. Because that's where this all is going with Cornelius' household. But will you go? Will you go? Can you put the other one up? Will you go and will you remind yourself? Will you remember the commission that was given and applied to us? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Will you go be a seed planter? Will you go? You see some sprouts coming up. Maybe you're the person that's got to water those sprouts. And maybe you might be that person that's going to see it all ready to be picked and be the one that gets to say, can I pray with you? And the life is given to the Lord. Saints, our world is divided, as I've mentioned many times, and we want to see this unity. Everybody wants to see unity. You see, all we need is love. All we need is love. Yes, but what love are you talking about? Because I want the love of Jesus over this country and world. I want biblical unity where we realize we're all sinners and we all need Jesus. Well, you need to see color. Okay, fine. You need a bunch of races. I'll give you them. Jew, Gentile, Christian. Which are you? If you're a Jew, let's pray that you become a Christian. If you're a Gentile, let's pray that you become a Christian. If you're Christian, let's pray you stay and act like one. When I say stay, I don't mean you lose your salvation. I'm talking about be a Christian. Be on fire for the Lord God Almighty. Seek the filling afresh of his Spirit. Do his word. Live for him. Don't just be Christian in name only. I got the card. I said the prayer. I'm all good. I question that. Are you going to hear depart from me? I never knew you. Let's be real, brothers and sisters. The charge this week is grounded in prayer. One, Lord, reveal my prayer life. Lord, reveal my prayer life. Ask the Lord to show you how your prayer life is. Are you praying? Are you communing with him? Lord, reveal my prayer life. Two, Lord, speak, your servant listens. Lord, reveal my prayer life. Lord, speak, your servant listens. Give the Lord a chance to speak to you. That might mean you're going to sit quietly. Might feel a little weird at first, but remember you're sitting in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. You don't need to talk the whole time. It's like when house of prayer, I don't have to say it anymore, but early on, almost every time I'd say, and don't be afraid of silence. It's okay if there's some silence. You don't need to fill it in. Are you the person that always starts praying? Let's not have a routine here, friends. Let other people pray. Lord, reveal my prayer life. Lord, speak, your servant listens. And Lord, whom shall I go to? And where are their calluses on my heart? Lord, whom shall I go to? And where are their calluses on my heart? Because when we think about who to go to, there can sometimes be that I don't want to go talk to that person. And I'll tell you, the Lord's broken me because there's some individuals where it's like, I don't really want to talk to that person. And of late, the Lord's like, well, that's exactly the kind of person I'm going to put in front of you every time. I'm going to break your heart before you get up and tell those people to do it, hypocrite. Thank you, Lord. Love the conviction. Embrace it. Lord, reveal my prayer life. Lord, speak, your servant listens. Lord, to whom shall I go? And where have calluses grown on my heart? One of our brothers, Mike Kenny, gave me a poem last week. Signs. As we see the signs of your final decree, may these trials guide us to your call to love one another and share your way, not one soul to be left behind. With open arms to those who need, having compassion, prayer, and deed, we know your will deep in our heart. Let us share these things without delay, not one soul to be left behind. Our command is to share your love while sinning no more until we depart. Our Father's love is meant for all. With open arms and embrace today, not one soul left behind. Not one soul left behind. If the Lord God Almighty took his church this morning, those of us who are his are going to be gone. Would you still be here? Would you still be sitting in this sanctuary? Because if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to say, you know what? I don't want to be left behind. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Relationship with Jesus doesn't mean you're going to be picture perfect. It doesn't mean, okay, well, if I say that now, then I got to do all these things. But no, it means I want to give it all to Jesus. And on the flip side, you might be here this morning and you're the person who's been doing religion. Or maybe your relationship has turned to religion. If either of those strike you, you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to say, you know what? Lord, I need to get right with you again. Stand up and let's pray for you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Anybody else? Is this the day you say, you know what? I want to give it all to Jesus. Or you know what, Lord? There's some stuff going on. I gotta get right with you. I don't want to stand up in front of all these people. That's embarrassing. This is the best place to stand before people. Because it's a room full of Jesus lovers who's going to intercede for you, who's going to pray for you. Anyone else? Because I like that idea, not one soul to be left behind. Anyone else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, Father God. Lord, you see the individual standing right now, Father God. And Lord, knowing these folks, these are hearts coming before you saying, Jesus, I want to get right with you. I want to lean into you more. Father, I pray you help them to lay the burdens, lay the sin in repentance at the foot of the cross. Lord, that you help them to walk in the forgiveness you have given, Lord, and that they forgive themselves, Lord, that they not allow the past to be a little belt around them that they hold on to, Lord, but that they put the belt of truth on who you say they are. Lord, we pray for a filling afresh of your Spirit upon these individuals, Lord Jesus. Father, that they are empowered to live for you deeply. Father, give them a hunger for your word. Help them to pray to you more. And Lord, have your way in and through their lives. Please, Father. And Lord, for all here this morning, I pray that wherever you've nudged or knocked on the heart, it would be taken to prayer, that you could have your way. Lord, that we'd go wherever you send. And we'd give the gospel to whoever you ask, remembering you desire that all come to repentance. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your guiding. Thank you for your leading. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for who you are. In the incredible name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.